Okay, so what we're going to do over the next, I'm not sure how many weeks it's going to take, is explore the multiple agadot. In Brachot, it happens elsewhere in Shas as well, and we'll see some of them focusing on divine justice, theodicy, which is the fancy word for divine justice, the Chazal's perspective on suffering. As we will see, the literature in Chazal is fundamentally different than most of the secular or Christian literature that you will find if you explore theories of suffering. And I will try to draw attention to that as we go through, okay? So, I will tell you in a second. Good, I haven't even started. Okay, so I gave you at the top here a lot of resources because there is a source sheet. I gave you a lot of resources at the top because I have been pushing this off all year because it's a very, very, very broad topic. So we will not cover everything. I gave you some suggestions of what to read. There's an excellent book from the Orthodox Forum called Zach, you're joining us for Theodicy. Jewish Perspectives on the Experience of Suffering. Rabbi Dr. Yaakov Ellman has several very helpful articles. If you want the philosophical side, from a first-rate analytic philosopher, Rabbi Dr. Aaron Siegel gave a four-part series last year for Drisha on the topic. I really should try to get Aaron to speak here again. He came a few years ago. He was both a Talmud Mufak of Liechtenstein. Then he got his PhD in metaphysics from Notre Dame under Van Inwagen and Plantinga. And now he's a professor of metaphysics at Hebrew U. And he lives here in Buchman. So it's sort of convenient for him to, he lives here in Buchman. Exactly. I gave you here, there's a book that I saw that I have not gotten my hands on, by Wayne Allen called Thinking About Good and Evil, Jewish Views from Antiquity to Modernity. Okay. Now, the question of divine justice, theodicy, whatever you want to call it, suffering, we will talk about those distinctions in a minute, obviously is the topic of much of Tanakh. As Mordechai knows, it is the topic of Eov. Yay, what a fun book, right? I'm really dreading it. I'm almost at Eov with Meir. I don't know how I'm going to teach it to him. Right? Each book has been getting harder, right? Like, the narrative parts of Tanakh were easy. I have to finish Eicha, and then I have to finish Kohelet. And then I got to do Eov, Mishle, and Tehillim, which not easy. So Eov, obviously, that's the topic. A large percentage of Yechezkel is about divine justice. In fact, a very, very significant percentage of Yechezkel is about divine justice. Several very important Prakim and Tehillim, the most famous of which is probably Ayin Gimel, is about it. Parts of Chavakuk. Much of Tanakh is about the questions of suffering and divine justice and the like. And there are many, 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 many passages in Chazal that talk about it. And in Brachot, there are some of the most important.
Is one of them the one where Moshe asks Hashem, why do good things happen to
them? Yes, one of them is where Moshe asked that question straight out. So why don't we look at some of them quickly. Now, I have an introductory note from Aaron Siegel that I want to make, but I do sort of want you to come to it yourself after we've seen some of the Gemara. So let's look at some of the Gemara, okay? So, yes, we're not, like, today's the introduction, so we will not get through everything, so let's at least start trying to see the Gemaras as they talk about it. So the Gemara, the first Gemara we will look at is on Hayyamun Aleph, where the Gemara says, quote, Rabbi Yochanan, yes, that's 7a, Rava. We're starting with Rava. Now, we will talk about a very, very good article by Dr. Ellman, where he points out that I'm going to make this, I will make this introductory point from Dr. Ellman, starting on Hay. Then we'll come to go to Zion. A very important introductory point to note in general about Agadata, and specifically in the context of suffering, Dr. Ellman makes this point very, very clear. You have to remember Chazal are not monolithic. If you say, what is Chazal's view on divine justice? There aren't many views of it. Rava is, in fact, one of the most vocal people about this topic, and therefore he may have his own perspective. There seems to be a difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi on this, and we will talk about that. But let's start by seeing some of the key Gemara. So yes, the Gemara in Brachot Daf Hey says, Amar Rava, V'itema Rav Chizda. Okay, this is towards the end. Im Roa Adam Shiyisurin Bayin Av Alav. If you... What? Middle of Hayyamun Aleph. Yeah. They're so wide. So Rava says, or some say Rav Chista, Imra Adam Shisirin Bain Alav. If someone sees affliction coming on him, Yifashpesh Be Ma'asav, he should examine his deeds. Shene Emar Nachvesa Derachenu V'Nachkora V'Nashuva Ad Hashem. As it says, we will search and examine our ways and return to God. Pishpesh V'Lo Matza. If he examined and did not find any sins to attribute his suffering to, Yitlev Vivitul Torah, this is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, he should attribute it to Vitul Torah. We talked about why that should be different. Shneamar Ashrei Hagever Asher Tiasrena Yah Mitaratcha Tilamdenu. V'im Tala V'lo Matza, and then this is by far the most complicated line in all of Shas about the nature of suffering. If you tried to attribute it to many different sins, including Bitul Torah, and you didn't find something, biyadua sheyisurin shel ahava, hey, you should know that they are afflictions of love. Sheemar et asher yehav Hashem yochiach. Because it says, the one who God loves, he shall afflict, or he shall rebuke. Okay, let's just pause there for a second. What do you make of the words that just came out of my mouth?
So it's not tough love, because...
Well, okay, let's go the whole thing.
Sure.
Let's start from the beginning. If someone is suffering, right, he should examine his deeds. What is the theological assumption right there?
That God punishes... Sometimes suffering is the result of a punishment.
Okay, Yonatan said two things. He didn't realize it, because he threw in one word, which is very important.
Punishment.
No, that wasn't the word That was the word I wanted. Okay, so let's go back to it. What is your assumption? I'm going to try again, Yonatan. What is the assumption of that line?
That if you are suffering, it's because you did some sort of sin.
Okay, so Yonatan version one is, if you are suffering, it's because you sinned. Then Yonatan said something else, which is?
Sometimes.
If you suffered, sometimes it's because of sin. What's the difference? Right? Those are two very different reads. One is to say, why you have to examine your deeds when you're suffering? Because suffering is always the product of sin, and therefore, if you're suffering, it means you sinned, and now you got to figure out. The other is, suffering is
sometimes
the product of sin, and therefore, why are you doing tshuva? Because in case it is, right? Right, or a variant on that is, right, there's a weaker variant of this, which is, because in theory, sin can cause suffering, we use every opportunity to motivate you to do tshuva. So, im kvar az kvar, right, do tshuva, right? What does that proper read of this Gemara hang on? If we just were in this Gemara.
In this first line?
If we were just in this Gemara, in these few lines, which theological approach would...
Sometimes.
That there are reasons for suffering.
What does it hang on? If I wanted to prove one or the other, what would I... If I looked at this Gemara, what evidence do you have? Whether it means always, sometimes.
If you change your ways, you will stop suffering.
Yeah, good. So, which step here is going to be the magic one?
What happens after?
The last one. Very good. Yisurin Shalava, because it says, if you don't know what sin you did, then it's Bitul Torah. And we talked about 2 weeks ago why Bitul Torah is unique. Yeah. Leave that aside. If it's not Bitul Torah, it's Yisurin Shalava. What are Yisurin Shalava? So, what do you think Yisurin Shalava are? Afflictions of love.
God is giving you a challenge so that you can improve yourself.
So, okay, so David's formulation is God is giving you an opportunity to change, which implies that it's possible that suffering is not the product of punishment.
Right?
For what?
It's really Easter and Saul, not it means that it's definitely because you did something bad.
It's bracha, but it means klala. It says avo.
Okay, meaning the other possibility is Yisurin Shalava means there is some sort of sin. What it is, we're not talking about it. We're not talking about it, but there's something, yeah. Right? And if that's the case, then the Gemara has never given up on the notion that
It's always punishment.
Good. Now, before we move forward. Okay, yes, go.
Which is that it's Yisurin Shalava, it's afflictions on your sense of Avat Hashem.
What? Okay.
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, maybe, actually. that may be similar to what David said, but there are definitely Rishonim who sort of
like,
read it that
like
way.
Eel. It's
yes.
Eel.
Well, who knows what Eel means? It's obviously okay. I told this to Mordechai. Okay, when you read through the JPS in Eov, every few words you will have a. You have a Hapux Lagamana. Okay,
yeah.
Which is a word that appears nowhere else in Tanakh. And in the JPS specifically, you will have a little footnote that says, meaning of Hebrew uncertain.
It's so
okay, but when I was in YU, one of my professors worked, two of my friends actually, I think, worked on the JPS project, and they said they were so tempted when they translated Eov, just put a footnote at the beginning of the book, and just say, meaning a book uncertain. Okay, right, so don't tell me this is what Eov means. Sure, maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I've read it. Okay. I've read Eov multiple times. I'm not sure I'm any closer to understanding it. If you do, that's fine. I don't know that I do. The Rambam has his theory. The Rashbaz has his theory. Ramban has his theory. Everyone has his theory. Yes. Okay, so Zach is quoting a position which the Rambam attributes to the Metazoites. Right? The Metazoites, yes. The Kalam philosophers, whichever one you would like, he calls them both. They were Muslim thinkers in his time that he's constantly polemicizing against, okay? Polemicizing against. He's in constant engagement, arguing philosophically and putting them as his straw man often and whatever. Anyways. Oh, the Rambam doesn't like it. That doesn't mean there aren't Jewish thinkers who believe it. I didn't say that. I just said that the Rambam doesn't like it, and the Rambam attributed it to the Metazoites. It doesn't mean that aren't Jewish thinkers who believe in it.
I haven't heard it quite like that.
But variations of, and you get schar for it, right? Sure, right? That you can either get schar by doing something good or by being unjustly tortured.
No, I've heard it slightly differently.
You know, reparations from God, you know.
That you do sins and you have suffering, but the suffering on this earth is so that you don't get suffering.
Okay, but so that goes back to Josh's possibility that maybe it is some sort of punishment, but punishment for something that like doesn't really deserve punishment, but it's still better for you to get that punishment out of the way, right? That's going back to Josh saying it really means there is a punishment. Okay,
sure.
Now. I will show you, before we continue in this Gemara, skip to number Gimel here, right? The Gemara in Shabbat.
Oh, yeah, so
what?
Number Gimel.
Number Gimel. Number Gimel, yes. Number Gimel. That's exactly what it is, yes. What? No. No. That's called retribution. 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 You're getting into punishment theory, but let's assume for the moment it could be retribution, it could be rehabilitative, but it's probably retribution. Okay, let's just say retribution. I have no problem with saying retribution. It could be that it's not retribution, but I don't have a fundamental problem with saying it is.
Does that mean you know you did shiva to get punished?
I did not.
No, but is it
true? That's possible. So what it really hangs on is this following Gemara and Shabbat. The Gemara and Shabbat says as follows. Amar Rabbi Ami, Rav Ami. Ein mita b'lo chet, v'ein yisurin b'lo avon. There is no death without sin, and there is no suffering without iniquity. Ein mita b'lo chet. Now this Gemara is shocking in a million ways, as you will see. Ein mita b'lo chet. There is no death without sin. Dichtiv ha-nefesh ha-chadei hitamut. Ben lo yisab avon ha-av, av lo yisab avon ha-ben. Because the Pasuk says, the soul that sins, it shall die. And a son doesn't carry the sin of his father. A father doesn't carry the sin of his son. Sitkada tzadik alav tiyev, reshara resha alav tiyev, v'gomer hopo. Yes.
So if he said ein chet below mitah, then that pasuk would be approved. But it doesn't work the other way around.
So
the pasuk says, if you sin, you'll be punished. That does not mean that all punishments come from sin.
Good. Now watch what the Gemara does. The Gemara is shocked. I want to read through this because... Okay, fine.
Oh.
Go, 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 go.
Sorry, man. I was just going to say... Is like,
I will not get through it because this Gemara is so shocking. Yes?
He's discounting like Hushad and Yaman.
No, the Gemara is going to quote that right here. Ein yisurim b'lo avon. How do I know that there is no suffering without sin? Because it says, I will... Right, strike them with the staff for their sin. And yes, Yonatan is correct that the same symbolic logic problem here is the same, right? God says, I will punish you if you sin. That doesn't mean that I will not punish you if you don't sin, right? Mitveh. So the Gemara challenges it and says, what are you talking about? Amar Malach HaShar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ministering angel said to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Vipnei Ma Kanasta Mita Al Adam HaRishon. Why did you decree, punish Adam with sin? Amar Lehem Mitzvah Kala Tzivit Avar Leh. Because I gave him an easy mitzvah and he violated it. Amrulo. Now, I want you to read the next line because this is the weirdest. This is what goes. This goes up in my one of my top 10 weird lines in all of Shas. Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
V'halo Moshe v'Aaron shekimu kol haTorah kula umetu. But Moshe and Aaron kept the whole Torah, i.e., never sinned.
Part of the North.
And they died.
Like returning something you stole.
That was not what I was thinking. My God, you're overthinking this.
You hit the rock.
Yes, the Torah says, I'm killing you because you sinned. Remember the hitting the rock thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? You might not think it's a sin. God said, I am killing you for this sin. Okay? Yeah. So.
Wait, he said he's killing him or he's not letting him
die? So, and therefore you will die before. Amar lahem mikrech ha-letzadik. Wait, watch the next unbelievably weird line. Sure. So the Gemara answers, who da Amar? No, this Gemara is going according to the Shita, ki haitana ditanya, Rishim Nolazar Omer, af Moshe Aaron v'cheta metu. It goes according to the Shita that Moshe Aaron died because they sinned. Shene emar, because the Pasuk, you know, God said this, yan lo emandem bi, haemandem bi adain lo egiz manchem li patem in olam. But if it had it, right? Now, this is amongst the weirdest lines where that Shita goes according to God. The other Shita, I honestly. So sure, you could say, you could say, no, because you sinned, you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's not like you're dying. I mean, you could really do that if you wanted to. I remember though, but I will give you a vort based on the next line. Mitveh, then the Gemara asks David's question, which is, wait, Arba Mitveh Adam Shalachash. There are four people who died because of the snake. Meaning, only because God decreed death in the world, but not because they themselves sinned. V'eluhein, Binyamin ben Yaakov, v'Amram avi Moshe, v'Yishai avi David, v'Kilav ben David. Okay, Binyamin, now. Okay, the Kulu Gemara, one second. All of these are Misora. Levar miYishai avi David, except for Yishai, David's father, d'mefarish Bekra, which is from the Pasuk, d'chtiv ha-masava, shem Avshalom, sam Avshalom tachad Yoav. Alat Savava Masaben Ish, Ushmo Yitra Yisraeli, Sharbala Yigail Bat Nachash, Achotsuya, Em Yoav. Right? So then the word says, okay, David is called son of Nachash, fine. Vinichin Bat Nachash Ave, Vahalo Bat Yishai Ave. This is not, sorry. Yoav's sister.
Yeah.
Yoav's mother, which is David's sister, right? Yoav is his nephew, right? So that means daughter of Yishai. Is it daughter of Yishai? Not Nachash. He says, no, it's Nachash. Ella, but Misha made by the Shalachash. It's the person who died because of the snake bite. Okay? Now, one second. I'm going to hold the question for a second. Ray Carmi, when I was in my first semester in YU and I took a course called Suffering and Philosophy of Suffering or Suffering and Evil or something like that, or as it was called in when I was in class by everyone in class, Suffering with Carmi. Right? I love Ray Carmi dearly. It was a fun class. That was my first like research paper in college, my first semester. But I won the award for the best Jewish studies paper on it because I spent a lot of time thinking about theodicy. It was fun. It was the first time I went down to the JTS library, found all types of rare books. It was great. I did a deep dive into Yosef Albo's theory of theodicy. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So much fun. Honestly, so much fun.
Cool.
Yes. I years later, I was dating Ora. We went to the Sfarim sale, the YU Sfarim sale, and like I saw Dror Ehrlich's PhD published as a book on Rabbi Yosef Albo. And I was so excited. And I did not understand. I was like, you don't understand. This, before it was a book, was a dissertation. Before it was a dissertation with a series of articles. And when I wrote that first paper, I found this article by Dror Ehrlich. And part of my paper was responding to Dror Ehrlich's claims about theodicy at Albo. And now it has been published as a PhD. I must have this on my shelf.
Wait, so is it have you quoted in the book?
No. I responded to it. You think he knows who I am? I was a first semester freshman or whatever.
Yeah.
First time on campus, sophomore, whatever.
Yeah.
In YU. But no, I haven't not. No, that was a very intense class, okay?
Yeah.
It was a good class. One second. So the point is, right, Carr made a brilliant read of this Gemara. And he said that he thought that the Gemara was actually making a very profound point through its very odd drush in the Pasuk, which you can only tell by the second line. And that is, the Gemara seems to present a Hava Amina as if Moshe never sinned. Now you'll ask me, obviously, how could it be, oh, Moshe did sin. How do I know? God said so. Oh, Kasha, right? So he said, okay, but what does the next line in the Gemara say? There are four people who never sinned. And he names them very oddly. He doesn't give them their name. What does it do for each of them?
Their father.
Their son, right? Their brother, right? He says, why? Because here's what the Gemara is saying. In order to literally be perfect and never sin, you cannot be a leader. No leader can possibly, no matter how great they are, right, never make a mistake. Right? The only people who can, David sinned. But his father, Yishai Avidah, kill of his son, the side characters can be perfect. If you actually are the leader, it's not possible. And therefore, the way he reads the Gemara is what the Gemara is arguing about is, listen, yes, he sinned. But maybe because sin is inherent to the job of being a leader, it doesn't really count. Right? Because you're going to mess up, and maybe God gives you a certain amount of a pass. Right? So the Hava Amina wasn't he wasn't sinned, was maybe, you know, you can't really hold that against the leader because a certain level of error is built into being a leader. Okay, so that's just a drasha sort of in leadership, and that's how he solved this problem in the Gemara. Yes?
Two things. One, wasn't Lemeth, I think his name was, also, like, never sinned and was taken
away
by God?
No. First of all, you're thinking Chanoch.
Chanoch, yeah, sorry.
No, and it doesn't say he didn't sin. It just said that Ve'enenu. Oh, right, okay. The God, Kilakachot Elokim.
So, what do they do with the fact that you're supposed to get visited, like, three generations after a sin, right? Like, your son suffered for three generations.
Yeah, that's complicated. I'm not going to... That steers within Tanakh.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a problem in Tanakh. Right, that's what I just said. Right, that they're side characters. That's literally what I just said. Okay, I mean, there are a lot of people we don't know much about in Tanakh. But okay, that's another way of saying the same thing. Okay, sure. Yeah. I don't want to get too much into that. It's possible. It's possible. No, I understand. I get it, but let's for the moment assume they're not that different for our purposes. But you're right. There, you might have to really, if you wanted to fully understand, you probably have to understand it. But there are many, many terms. Again, I can put you in touch with my old Kavrusa, who is also in my class. But he's written a lot about this, a painful amount about this. His dissertation was on theories of expiation in Kudshim. In Kudshim, right? It was going through Karbanot and theories of forgiveness and atonement and expiation as it appears in Kudshim.
Wait, what is expiation?
Yeah. The cleansing process of sin. Yes. It was my chavrus of many years, Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zakir.
He had an obsession with
Is he what? He was scar in residence in Ezra's shul last week. Yes. That's not. You can come and borrow my kachim svarim if you would like. I have a whole shelf of them. So the Gemara says. So then Gemara says, "Mani li matana de malachet sharva ikam moshe varon elav Rav Shimon Elazar." Are you shma mina? Gemara says we conclude from here from the fact that we hold these four people. Yesh. Mita below chait, v'yesh yisurin below avon, v'yufta derayti yufta. We conclude from here that there is death without sin, and then there is. Oh, very good.
Death is a punishment.
And then what's the problem? The problem is that the Gemara has now proven that people die without sin, and then it says, and we've along the way proved that you suffer without sin as well. And Josh says, really, where was the proof for that? So guess who noted that? Everybody said, wait a second, what? Right? So, right, so Tosus says, V'avogav demai dekamar ein yisurin below avon, lo itosav. We conclude that there is, right?
There's some type of sin there.
Right? He says, even though the Gemara doesn't actually prove it, it asserts it. Okay.
Wait, can you say that just the entire line, like the line is false, but not the entire line? Just saying that the line that we said.
So what's the problem? What because the Gemara doesn't actually answer it, what do you think we are led to? A machloket we shown him about whether the maskana of this Gemara is there is suffering without sin or there isn't, right? Because this Gemara doesn't actually prove it.
What do you call Misa? Right?
No, Misa can definitely happen without sin. Though, of course,
is Misa not punishment?
Okay, so this is where things get very tricky. And if you want to get very mystical, right, the Ramban is very fond of this. The Ramban is like, no, you understand. There really isn't punishment without sin. What about death? He's like, no, the Gemara isn't really telling you that there's no death without sin. Of course there's death. You couldn't have death without sin. It's just telling you that there isn't death, that there is death without your sin. But there couldn't be death without sin. That's what it means, without the nachash, right? So, like, death is a product of sin, you know, in, like, the sin.
He's inserting a lot of words that the Gemara does not say.
Yes, he is also one of the only Rishonim who uses the Christological language almost of original sin. Yes, correct. He is very influenced by that so terminology. Yes, he is one of the only people who does that. He might actually call it sometimes Chet HaKadmon, but he usually has other times. But yeah, he is. Halbertal makes his point. But if you look at the Rishonim, so look at Hey Vav and Zion. And Chet. And Chet. What?
What? Didn't Moshe just read today at the end of Moed Katan that it's like hard to die? There's like some sort of. They were describing that it's a painful process.
That's a little kosher. How painful it is. Right? Leave that for a second.
That connotes suffering within death.
Death should connote suffering.
Okay, but not everybody. Maybe you're maybe dying. Guys, so let's see what the maskana is, right? Because the Gemara here seems to conclude that there is suffering without sin, right? Well, and yet the Gemara doesn't seem to see that. So, for example, if you look here at the Me'iri says, Me'ikare hadat, one of the fundamentals of faith, is lahami and shekol mashi yikre la'adam mito ve'ra, hakol mushkach me'ito yitbarach. That everything that happens, good or bad, is under God's providence. Hashkacha pratit, personal providence, mitzad pulot ha'adam, ולא יבלבל זה מה שראו שמהעדר הסידור למרית ענייננו בניין צדיק ורע לו רשע וטוב. Don't be too bothered by the fact that, you know, bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people. וכן מאמר מקרה אחד לצדיק לרשע. Or, you know, Kohelet saying it's not true, the world is just hellishly unfair. Ignore Kohelet for a little bit, you know.
What's Kohelet, Eddie?
What?
What's Kohelet?
Well, the Ramban is a very easy solution to this, but you're not going to like it. Right, the Ramban solution is, of course, Kohelet says that, but that's because Kohelet only understood God through the Sphira of Shechina, but he didn't understand through Tiferet.
Yeah.
And within the
Shechina,
and within the worldview of Shechina, there is injustice, but in the worldview of Tiferet, there isn't.
I used to know less about the Ramban.
Okay. Anyways, but don't worry. It's not their fault. The Avot also didn't know Tiferet.
Oh, okay. Of course.
It's the Sphira. What? It's the Sphira. Because that's what we understand the Pasuk of Ashushmi Hashem Lanadati Lahem. Right?
Okay.
Right? No, that's how he said. That's what we understand. Shmi. By the way, your reaction is exactly what Ginsburg said, right? Ginsburg gave me the book and he's like, I can't even read the Ramban anymore. He's like, now I see Kabbalah everywhere. I can't deal with it. I'm like, Ray Ginsburg, like, really? You didn't know that? I mean, come on. He's like, for the Gedolei HaKabbalah, what, you didn't know that? Every time he said, right, this is explained through the Darkei Emet, it didn't, like, set off bells. Like, what did you think the man was doing? Oh, my God. He's one of the Gedolei HaMikubalim, honestly.
I still don't know it.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it later. I have had so much fun reading this book. But like I said, it's taken me forever to read this book. Because every time I'm like, oh, that's an interesting point. Let me find the footnote. Hey, let me follow all the articles in the footnote. And then email my professor from graduate school and say, what are more articles that respond to this? So each footnote turns into another 200 pages of reading. So, you know, when you have a 300-page book and you multiply that by many thousands, you know, it gets very long. I'm having so much fun with it, though. So much fun. You have no idea. Oh my God, it's so much fun. I cannot even explain how much fun it is. Anyways, so then Miri continues. So he says ignore. Now, to be fair, Meiri definitely was not thinking what the Ramban was saying. He was not thinking, oh, because of Shechina and Tiferet. And da, da, da. Yeah. He was not. He was not. He was not a Kabbalist. Right, and justice is hidden from us. We don't know why he's punished and why he gets reward. Because God does not, right, treat us unfairly. Whether for good or for bad. And then he says, don't get so bothered by this. Four people died. Because of the snake thing. The Miri first of all says, the Gemara says that there's no death without sin. What it really meant is, that there is death without sin. He says what it means is there is no death without sin. That's actually what it meant. No, he just meant, it meant there is death without a lot of sin. That's all. He's like, Binyamin, Yishai, it means they didn't sin a lot. That's all.
He did, like, what, Bittul Torah?
I don't know. But, like, you know, compared to David, who, like, you know, committed adultery and murdered the husband of the person he committed adultery with.
Not so clear.
Fine. He did something that the Torah, that the Navi called adultery, and then Chazal having machloket whether or not it was. Okay? Fine. But he did something that God considered equivalent to adultery, and then did have her husband killed. That is not deniable. So he says, he said they sinned a little bit. So he didn't get to, on the weight. And it only means that they didn't sin a lot as far as human beings could tell, but God knew. It's saying they were like sort of perfect, you know, I mean, whatever. Right? That is like the hardest read of this Gemara. I'm just saying, fine. Because this would contradict Pesukim, which say no one is perfect. And he says, and besides, the Gemara tells you that you can die without sin and you can be punished without sin. So then he has this amazing line. We don't, Ein Ikarei Emunot, the central dogmas of faith, are not tluyot, are not contingent, b'rayot shel pshutei hamikraot, on proofs from the simple read of Psukim, ve'agadot, or agada. Okay, that is one of the craziest things I've ever heard, which is, you can't draw firm conclusions about theology from the Torah or from Chazal.
So where can you?
I don't know. Ukvar yadata she'in meshiv v'agada. You don't have kashas in agada ma'anich bad ma'amar af moshev aram v'chad omegu. So the Miri's conclusion of there is death and punishment without suffering is, by which we meant there isn't. The opposite.
Sure.
Just no. Okay. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree that that's not true. They conclude that at some level there is death without sin. Right? Because that is proven in the Gemara, but not suffering. So if you look, for example, the Rambam in number 6, involved here in the guide, in 317, we, however, believe that all these human affairs are managed with justice, far be it from the God to do wrong, to punish anyone unless the punishment is necessary and merited. It is distinctly stated in the law that all is done in accordance with justice, and the words of our sages generally express the same idea. They clearly say there is no death without sin, no suffering without transgression. Again, the deserts of men are meted out to him in the same measure which he himself employs. These are the words of the Mishnah. Our sages declare it where opportunity is given, that the idea of God necessarily implies justice, that he will reward the most pious for all their pure and upright actions, and no commandment was given them to a prophet, and that he will punish all their deeds of men, although they have not been proved by the prophet. His common sense warns against them. Wait, sorry, what did I say the Rambam? What did I say the Rambam said? No, the Rambam concludes there is no transgression, right? Yeah. There is no, right? Yeah. There is none, right? However, right? As we noted from Tosfot, Lav Dafka. Now, who disagrees with this? No, so the Ramban actually agrees with the Rambam here. So, first of all, the Meiri, and someone else is Rashi. Where does Rashi disagree? Zion, on our Sugya. Because Rashi says, Yisurin Shel Ava is what Zach said it was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miyasur B'Olam HaZeh B'lo Shum Avo. God afflicts you for no sin. To give you more, right, is what Zach said and David said, right? Which is you get more reward as long as, right? It's like either do work and I'll pay you, or let me slap you and I'll pay you, right? Zeh u zeh. right? Or both. You do work in Arizona, I'll slap you, and I'll throw in $5 extra each time I slap you, right? I won't. If anyone is, like, listening to the recording, it's like, oh, my God, he's abusive. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. It's not happening. Yes. Yes.
So the Rambam says that we know that all that human affairs are meant to cause us. Because if something happened to someone that was bad, and it wasn't just, and that would mean that God was doing wrong to them because they're getting a punishment that's unwarranted.
Yes.
But that, there's in that a hidden assumption that, like, all the bad things that happen to people are punishments that God meets out.
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, is the Rambam doesn't believe that either.
Yeah.
Yes. So, right, that is it. This is very complicated. So, yes, you are correct. Now, before I take your question, you'll notice that Tosfos also quotes the Bahag in an amazing line. This is, like, so ridiculously shocking. Anchet, yeah. This is, like, really wild.
Okay.
I don't even know what to do with this. Tosfos quotes the following. On the brach of Hatov HaMitiv and Dayan HaEmet. V'hachi mararachin, and baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam HaKel HaTov V'Ameitiv, El Emet Dayan Emet, Shofet B'Tzedek, Lokeach B'Mishpat, V'Shalit B'Ma'asav, V'Anachnu Avadav, V'Amo, V'Chol Anachnu Chayvim La'odor. He's quoting the Gemara, okay?
Sure.
Skip down to two lines on the bottom. U'Perish Bahag. The Bahag says, whatever this bracha is, the Ein Lomar B'Mishpat. The bracha is Dayan HaEmet, not Dayan B'Mishpat. It does not say God judges
no
justly. The Kaimalon, because we paskin in Shabbat, that the Yesh Mita below Chet, the Yesh Yisurin below Avon. That you can get punished. And therefore God isn't always just. Umiyu Bekach in Lamachko. Right? So then Judge says, for that and a reason I wouldn't erase it, but he says the Bahag erased the word B'mishpat because God isn't always just. Deal with it. Yeah, and the Bahag says, na-na-na-na-na-na, right? Guess what? The Bahag doesn't have to care what you said, okay? The Bahag doesn't care what you said, okay?
The Bahag does not care about your immortal soul.
That's right, he doesn't care at all. What? I'm sorry. I don't care. Now, the Gemara in Daf Hei continues, okay, with all types of certain Shalava, and we'll come back to the Gemara. Yes.
Is it possible?
Oh my God! Only 15 minutes, but I do need to make this point. Yeah.
Is it possible to read the Gemara in Shabbos as like what I was saying before? Is that when it says Yesh Mishpat?
Are you going to suggest something that's more radical than Meiri? Because
I don't know.
Please don't.
Yisurin below Avon is yes, you get Yisurin below Avon, but you get them through like Pashar Chet.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
Is that a no?
Maybe. That's a maybe. Okay. It's a hard maybe. Okay. Fine. So yeah. So okay. So then, quickly, I want to at least introduce a few more agadot. So the Gemara on Dav Zayin. The Gemara on Dav Zayin is more, even more in your face about it. Because what does the Gemara there say? So if you turn to Dav Zayin, your Gemara, brachot. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Shloshet Varim Bikesh Moshem Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Natan Lo. There were three things that the Gemara is going through all the things that Moshe asked for. What was the third one? Bikesh Lo Dio Drachav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asked God to tell him his ways. V'Natan Lo. First day is, he gave it to him. Shnei Amar, now what does it mean, know his ways? Shnei Amar, hodini na derachecha, let me know your ways. Amar lefanav, rabbono shel olam, master of the world, b'nei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo, v'yesh tzadik v'ra lo, yesh rasha v'tov lo, v'yesh rasha v'ra lo. Why do good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people? Amar lo, Moshe, is it Moshe? Tzadik v'tov lo, tzadik ben tzadik. A tzadik, and things are good, he's a tzadik, and his father's a tzadik. This comes back to whoever was talking about intergenerational punishment. Tzadik v'ra lo, tzadik ben rasha. Right? Tzadik and bad things happening, because his father was evil. Rasha v'tovlo. If good things happen to a bad person, Rasha ben tzadik, that's because his father was a tzadik. Rasha v'ralo, Rasha ben Rasha. Okay? So then the Gemara goes on in the next pasuk and says, right now, obviously, so obviously the next Gemara says, wait a second, there's a stira in psukim, because sometimes the Gemara says, poked avon avot albanim, that God punishes children for their fathers, and Yecheskel says, no, uvanim loyim to alavot, that sons don't get punished. Oh, stira, you're not the first person to notice there's a stira in psukim. Chazal were like, this is pretty striking. You know, or as I once heard it from Tova Genzel, in a very harsh, Tova Genzel's amazing. She really is. She's a professor at Bar Ilan. So we happen to be fellows the same year in the Tikva Fund, in the year-long fellowship. She was on sabbatical because her husband's a hematologist-oncologist, and he was doing a fellowship at Sloan Kettering. So she was writing a book in Yechezkel that year, her second or third book on Yechezkel. And at some point she was just like, she started yelling about how all these pop theologians, and then she named some names of very prominent rabbis in Israel who are friends of her that she yells at. I won't mention their names. Where she's like, you can't build a theology from a few psukim in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu that make you happy and ignore Yechezkel who doesn't make you happy, right? Because Yechezkel is, you know, that book that makes nobody happy because, you know, it's Yechezkel and it's harsh. So he says, so the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, hak she'ochsen masi avotem b'yadam. There's a difference whether sons follow their father. Hak she'ein ochsen masi avotem b'yadam. So then the Gemara says, okay, fine. Different understanding. The Gemara says, if someone is a tzaddik and is suffering, that's because he's a tzaddik she'eino gamur. He's a tzaddik, but not perfect. Oh. If he's everything's good for him, he's a tzaddik gamur. And same flip for a rasha. Okay?
Wow.
That is one day. Then the Gemara is Upliga de Rameir. This argues on Rameir, because Rameir says that when he asked God to tell him tzaddik v'tovlo, rasha v'tovlo, God said,
no.
No. Right? No, you can't. Right? So you have a machloket. Whether God answered him. Okay? Third Gemara, I'm going to stay outside because you know this Gemara.
Sure.
Okay? The third Gemara in Brachot that is very relevant to theodicy, there are many, but is the death of Rabbi Kiva.
Yeah.
Because Rabbi Kiva's death seems grossly unfair. Right? You know, he's in Samach Aleph.
Right?
You know, skin scraped off. Oh, no, no, so that's other Gemara. No, that's the other Gemara. No, 1 second, 1 second.
So in that Gemara,
guys, in that Gemara, what happens, right? On Samach Aleph, what happens in that Gemara? Right? So he's being scraped, his skin is being scraped off very nicely. Yes, he says, right? So what are the, and then who challenges the unfairness of it? First his students, and then? The angels. The angels say, Zu Torah v'zu Schara?
Yeah.
And what is God's very... Yes, and what is God's very, very well thought out answer?
Yes.
Yeah, shut up. Right? Right?
Look, guys, I'm God.
Right? Yeah, essentially. Now, right? Too bad. Now, what Yonatan notes, and that's what I gave you here in Aleph, is that in a different Gemara, and I will say it outside, the Gemara in Menachot says that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, he saw that God was tying the crowns onto the letters, right? And he said to God, why are you tying crowns on the letters? And he said, because in the end of time, there will be, in many, many, many years, there'll be a person named Akiva ben Yosef who's going to learn and expound many laws from every crown. He says, oh, so let me see him. So God says, okay, time machine. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Time machine? He says, okay, he gets to his Beit Midrash and he puts him in the eighth row, which is one of the most amazing moments in all of Shas. Yeah. Because why is he in the eighth row?
Because he's one of the backs.
Because there are only seven rows, which means he's not even Zoch, and they sat by merit. Right? And therefore he doesn't get to be in the row. Right? Yes, that's the point of that Gemara. Right? And Moshe sits there and he says, I don't understand anything that's going on in Shir. Right? So don't feel so bad. I know some of you didn't understand Rav Rosenzweig this morning. Don't worry. Moshe didn't understand Rabbi Kiva, so you're in good company. Right? And then Moshe says, I don't understand. I understand a word in Shir. I'm getting depressed until someone raises his hand and says, Rebbe Minayin Lacha, how do you know? And he said, oh, Halacha Moshe Misinai.
Yeah.
And then he was happy. Okay, Rashi's solution to the Gemara is, don't worry about it. This is before Matan Torah, and God was saying, I'll teach it to you later. Ritva is no, because, right, there is no truth, right? There's no absolute truth, whatever. Anyways, but then the end of the Gemara.
What?
Yes. So then the end of the Gemara says, this is the important part for our purposes. He says, Hereini Torata, you showed me his Torah, right? So now show me how he dies. He says, fine, go back in your time machine. And he says, oh, wonderful picture, right? They're scraping his skin off. And Moses says, wait.
The same thing the angel said.
Yes, exactly. And God says, shtok, shut up. Kach olabam, shtok is rude. It doesn't mean be quiet. It means shut up. Kach olabam achshav alafane. That's what I want to do. Okay? I don't care. Shh. Now, technically, I'm not translating right. It's kach ala b'machshava, and obviously for Kabbalists, that means a lot, because that means that it's in machshava, which is probably in Keter.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
don't worry.
Okay, I have 8 more minutes, so I'm going to throw out one more Gemara. This one, I think Donnie did. I think Donnie did this Gemara, right? Now, Donnie did the Gemara in his Chaburan Elisha ben Avuya. Then in the Yerushalmi, why does Elisha ben Avuya go off the Derech?
because he saw someone fall off.
So different versions. Yeah. One is that he sees someone that is right. What his parents told him to go and then go do Shilach HaKain, and while he's doing Shilach HaKain, at Kibbutz Avim, which says you're gonna have long life, he falls and dies.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Gemara says, well, he didn't understand it's supposed to be an Alhaba, or he saw the tongue of Chitzpah Maturgaman, right, being, right, cut off, dragged to the streets, right, sure, in one of the other Asura Eric and Malchut. And he said, right, let didn't die, there's no justice. So again, theodicy, as we have it, right? But so now, right, so here we've seen a few Gemaras, right, which struggle with the question of Yisurin B'lavon, which struggle with the problem of theodicy. They put it in the mouth of Moshe. They put it in the mouth of Malachim. Yeah. They have a machlok where Moshe understands, right? It's a big problem,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Here's the introductory point that I want to make for today. And that is, and this is, I think, a very powerful point. And this is something, as I said, I first heard from Aaron Siegel. But as soon as you hear it, you're like, obviously, this is right. Fundamentally, all these Gemaras are dealing with a question which, if you read modern philosophy, is very different from the modern question.
Yeah.
Why?
Because modern philosophy is specifically about the existence of suffering.
Very good. Because modern problems, either the philosophers or Christians, which influence much of modern philosophy, it's not about the problem of divine justice. It's about the problem of
suffering.
Because God is all benevolent. This is Yaakov's Chabura, right? The four O's. He's omni everything, including omni beneficent. He's all good, and therefore suffering is against God. Now, in Torah, that is not the problem. In any of these sources, is the problem suffering? No.
It's
tzadik v'ra'lo. It's justice. Because Torah does not have this idea of all the omnis, right? Remember, as we've talked about, does Torah believe in omnipresence? Well, some Hasidim do, but the Rambam would not. The Rambam thinks God is transcendent, not omnipresent, because he's not present at all. He is transcendent, right? Pantheism and panentheism and versions of that are more omnipresent, but, right, that is not all Jewish thinkers, so we don't necessarily believe in omnipresence, right? Omnibenevolence, also, you know, right? He's, right? And therefore, and if you look, this is not just in the Gemara, right? So if you look in it's also in Kohelet, it's also in Eov, right? so you look, for example, Kohelet, look here in number 9. I gave you Aleph and Bet, two examples from Kohelet, right? Kohelet's very clear. Yesh hevel asher nasal aret asher yesh tzadikim asher magia lehem kemaser hashem, v'yesh hashem asher magia lehem kemaser tzadikim amarti shezeh hevel. Right? What does he say is vain? That there are tzaddikim that are treated like rishayim, and rishayim that are treated like tzaddikim. Or in Perek Tet, Hakol kasher lechol mikre echad latzaddik l'rasha l'tov l'tor v'l'tameh. The problem is that the same thing happens to good, bad, tameh, tahor, right? V'lazoveach v'lasher inenu zoveach. Whether you bring karbanot or don't. Katov chakodeh nishbak asher shavua yorei. Whether you swear or you're afraid of swearing. Zera, this is bad. V'chol asher nasa tachar hashemesh. Of anything that's done under the sun. Yeah. And yes, under the sun, because, yes, the Ramban says, oh, because he's under the sun, because you're the Shekhinah, sure. Not if you're in Tiferet. Yesh mechar is lakol. You don't have to send the Kabbalah, right? This is very different than the modern question, and that's why it's very hard to read modern philosophy, which is very Christian-oriented, right? Very Christian-influenced, where, and these three examples are Aaron Siegel's examples, from Hume, Lewis, and Leibniz. So Hume, in Dialogues Concerning Natural Religion, Part 10, Epicurus's old questions are unanswered. Is he willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is impotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Whence then is evil? Or Lewis in The Problem of Pain, also a good book. If God were good, he would wish to make his creatures perfectly happy. And if God were almighty, he would be able to do what he wished. But the creatures are not happy. Therefore, God either lacks goodness or power or both. This is the problem of pain in its simplest form. Or Leibniz, right? The difficulties are distinguishable into two classes. The other kind concerns the conduct of God and seems to make him participate too much in the existence of evil, even though man be free and participate also therein. And this conduct appears contrary to the goodness, the holiness, and the justice of God, since God cooperates in evil as well, physical and as moral, and cooperates in each of them morally and physically. All the reality in what is termed the substance or the act and sin itself is a production of God, since all creatures and all their actions derive from him that reality they have. whence one could infer not only that he is the physical cause of sin, but also that he is its moral cause. For an action is not, for being evil, the less dependent on God. Whence one will come at last to the conclusion that God does all the good and the evil indifferently, unless one pretends with the Manichaeans that there are two principles, the one good and the other evil. Right? So Christian thought, modern philosophy in general, tends to be bothered by the problem of suffering, the problem of evil. Chazal are bothered by the problem of justice.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I want to clarify. I have two more minutes, so I want to make a few more points. Is the Kotev, who in his commentary on the Ein Yaakov, notes that he's not convinced that even the entire problem of justice bothered Chazal. He thinks it might only be half the equation, which really bothered them, and that is?
Tzadik V'ra'lo.
Right? And that's what that he says. Sense. Right? He says, Uma, v'nei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo, roi l'daktik lashon zot, First of all, he says Chazal are sharper than Tanakh, right, in terms of how they pose the question. Fine. Ulam b'chan nichpala sheila be'amro mibnei matzadik v'tov lo tzadik v'ralo v'chein b'rashi v'tov l'rashi v'ralo ki l'sheila rishona efshar l'ashiv ke lo tov l'tzadik l'spol ha'rabo l'mazeh kidei lizkot l'chol tov ha'olam haba v'gam rashi v'tov lo b'olam hazeh kidei shikav l'kon cho b'olam haba. Aval kasher niret tzadik v'tovlo, v'tzadik acher kayotze b'ralo, lo neidat shuvah l'azod akushya. So he says, first of all, the problem is specifically because it's not consistent. Okay, that's part of his, is that, right, so for him, the problem is consistency, which is some tzadikim things are good, and some tzadikim they're bad. Right, he said, if all tzadikim suffered, then maybe you could come up with a consistent theology. Right, for him, part of the problem is the fact that there's inconsistency, right, that's, where does he get that idea from? The Gemara and Daf Zayin, that there are tzaddikim where tov and certain some which are ra, right? So it's the inconsistency. The Ramban in his Hakdamah to Eov in 12 says, "Hu davar mach." So first of all, he tells you this is like the biggest problem in the whole universe. "Hu davar mach iv et alavot." This causes pain to your heart. "Umadiva machshavot mimenu levadonim shichura bimachal darot lekfira gemura." It leads to heresy. Always. Vuhu ayirot ba'olam mishpatam u'kal, who sees justice twisted, v'tzadik v'ra'ala rasha v'tov, lo kiyamru, maduach derech ploni, ploni tzalcha, and they'll say, why is he successful? V'lama ploni v'ploni shir tzadikim avdu, zeshorish amrei b'chala mordim. This is the core of all rebellion. Mikol umu avilashon, all religions. So first of all, he says, this is like the ultimate theological problem. But which one? So in 13, he tells you, in the Shara Gemul, v'yirami divay arav, shalohuk shobein av davar rasha v'tov, lo. He says, I'm not really worried. Or the Rambam wasn't really worried about Russia Vitovlo. Sure. Because, okay, so God is kind. Aval ikra savik, the main question for Chazal, bitzadik viralo, is good people and bad things happen to them. Vine ber bechal sha'olam b'metziyato chesed yibaneh, because the world is kind. Umikrav upaga'av v'atzman v'al tzadik ha'oved yigzor shemita b'chev yishrim b'avon v'hu emet amas shesifu l'chtov l'armoz v'malo v'uvaruch ha'yodea din emet v'shofed ha'tzadik. So, it's 9 o'clock.
That's not saying that God is like omnibenevolent, of course, but it is.
Correct.
That it's like not
exactly right. The Ramban is saying, listen, I have no problem saying that God is benevolent. Omnibenevolent, yeah. Maybe not, but benevolent, no problem.
Yeah.
Right. And therefore, to summarize, what we've seen is A, this is a huge problem for Chazal, right?
Yeah.
But the main problem for Chazal is justice, and therefore, as the Kotev says, it's specifically the fact that it's inconsistent, right? And the Ramban adds, and it's really. Right, as Yonatan points out, Chazal aren't so opposed to God being benevolent sometimes, right? The problem that they're really bothered with is justice in the negative direction, right? That's really their problem, right? That's the major, major problem. Though, as we saw, the question of whether Chazal are really bothered with it in Maskana and whether they think there is an answer is itself a machloket, right? The Gemara in Daf Zayin says there's a machloket about whether Moshe was ever answered. And as we saw, there's a machloket whether the Gemara concludes, yesh yisurin below chet, or any Surin Belochet, right? So that's the question that we have to deal with. Like I said, we're not going to get through every detail in every Gemara. It would take us for the rest of the year. But this is an introduction in terms of what is the question that Chazal are asking. What I want to do probably next week is Yaakov Ellman's bit of a survey where he goes through and points out, sort of spoilers, is that he believes very much that a fair, unbiased read of Chazal reveals that Chazal almost definitely did not agree with most of the medieval philosophers.
Yeah.
They just didn't. That the medieval philosophers, when you read it specifically in the context of the Odyssey, seem to be superimposing external philosophies. And that a fair read of Chazal does not seem to map fairly into the Rambam. The Rambam, the Ramban.
I guess maybe it's not one-to-one, but the
it's not a bijection.
The guy who says that God didn't answer Moshe. It's kind of similar.
Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, sure.
In the Gemara, yes,
yeah,
Rabbi Meir.
In the Gemara. It's somewhat like not that it was surprised. The Meiri saying that like we don't know why.
Right. Yeah, you know, the Meiri in many ways is an answer like that, which is I don't know. I mean, you know.
Right.
Yeah. No. 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 No, yeah. I said he's not Kabbalistic. Ramban is Kabbalistic.
It's not Kabbalistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right as to how surprised I was going to be about just how little I disagreed with.
See, okay, because I haven't said anything. It's supposed to highlight the question, right? Which took a while.
Yes, even the highlighting of the question.
Yeah, so then I have to turn it over to Ravashi, yeah.
Of people getting punished in this world in order to, like, atone.
We're going
to
come back to it, Yisur and Shalava. We're coming back to it. I know, we're coming back to it. We're coming back to it. We're coming back to Yisur and Shalava. When I was in Rai Karmi's class, we spent like 2 weeks of college classes just in Yisur and Shalava, okay?